May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 976. Jesus is a wise physician, skillful and exceeding kind. Through him sinners find remission and enjoy sweet peace of mind. 976.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 8. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and he was baptized. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise, and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May the Lord bless that portion of his own precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, holy and eternal God, do solemnize our hearts, do unclutter our minds as we seek to bow before thy great majesty and to call upon thy great and thy holy name. We come, Lord, as poor sinners with divided hearts. We solemnly feel the old man of sin, which is corrupt, unrighteous, unclean. But also, Lord, through grace, we have that new man of grace which loves thee and desires to serve thee and follow thee. Great God, we do pray that this day thy grace may be triumphant in our hearts, and that thou wouldst subdue the powers of sin and of all unrighteousness within us, and that we may be enabled to worship thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We do pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide with us, that we may feel thy presence, that we may feel the divine drawings of a heavenly Father drawing us unto his best beloved and all glorious Son, that we may know and experience, O Lord, the divine leading and teaching of the Holy Ghost, that there may be a union felt between the pulpit and the pew, and that we may hear the word of the Lord, and that the word of the Lord may have free course, and thy name may be honoured and glorified. Lord Jesus, we do pray that thou wouldst come and stand in our midst. And make thyself this day unto us a living, bright reality, that we may see no man save Jesus only, that we may experience the power of his precious blood, purging away all our sin, all our iniquity, all our unrighteousnesses, and that we may be clothed upon with that glorious robe of the everlasting righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may indeed be complete in him and accepted in the Beloved. We pray that this day, that the love of Christ may be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and that we may cleave unto thee, and that thou wouldst make thyself precious unto our souls, that thou wouldst give us clear believing views of thy person and of what thou hast done to redeem us and to deliver us from sin and Satan's power. O most gracious God, do hear us in heaven, thy holy and thy blessed dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. Thou knowest the state and the condition of every soul in this chapel this morning, from the youngest to the eldest. There is nothing that is hid from thee, O Lord. And we do pray that thou, in thy great mercy, wouldst come and answer the needs of thy people. Some poor, trembling sinner may be before thee now, desiring to know and desiring to lay hold of Christ, to hear his voice, to see his countenance, to make the crooked things straight and the rough places plain, to come and deliver them from sin and from its power and from its influence. Lord, so bless, we do beseech thee, and gather in precious souls and build the walls of Jerusalem and send real prosperity. Fulfill the sacred promises in thy word unto Zion. I will bring thy sons from far and thy daughters from the ends of the earth, and they shall come. O Lord, we do thank thee for those divinely certain promises unto Zion, and we pray that thou wouldst fulfil them and have mercy upon thy Zion and return to Jerusalem with mercies and grant mighty signs and wonders to follow the preaching of the word. May thy rich blessing rest upon the younger generation, that they may be brought forth and made manifest as being the living family of God. For by their fruits shall ye know them. Lord, may we see those precious fruits. And we pray that thou in thy great mercy wouldst grant that they may follow on to know the Lord, and that we may see that fulfilling of the word, instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. Do bless our beloved brethren, the deacons. Do give them needed grace, wisdom and help in all the responsibilities that devolve upon them in the sanctuary. Do bless them as a church. Unite them together in the sacred bonds of Christian love, union and communion. And grant that there may be added unto the church daily such as should be saved. We pray that thou wouldst grant this people a living, settled ministry, one of thy servants to come in and out among them and to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. O most gracious God, incline thine ear, we do beseech thee, and do grant real prosperity. Do grant the abundance of rain. Do grant that thou wouldst make the place of thy feet glorious. And do grant that we may see those trees of the Lord's right hand planting, flourishing in the wilderness of this world, bringing forth fruit to the glory of thy great and holy name, watered from heaven. Oh, we do pray that that spring of living water may spring up within our hearts into everlasting life. Holy, blessed, divine Spirit, do so. Bless us, we pray thee, for thou art that living water. And we do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy servants as they're coming in and out among this people. Grant that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren. And do grant that the word preach may be in power in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. And do grant, most gracious Lord, thy blessing, that it may rest upon the babes and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it may be their portion in their very young years. We think of those wonderful words of grace, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We do seek, O Lord, thy blessing upon the young friends as they stand upon the threshold of life's journey. We pray that thou wouldst go before them and help them. Bless them with that rich grace that is in Christ Jesus. Bring them to living faith in him and give them wisdom and understanding in their education. Grant thy direction to future employment and grant, O Lord, thy blessing upon them regarding a partner in life's journey. Lord, we lovingly commend them to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and to grant them an inheritance among them that are sanctified, all in the midst of the journey of life. And we pray that thou wouldst be with and support and sustain us. Deliver us, O Lord, from the allurements of this vain world that has to death 10,000s hurled. Deliver us from the temptations of the wicked one, whether he comes as a roaring lion to devour, or whether he comes as an angel of light to deceive. We pray to be delivered, and that thou wouldst have mercy upon us, and that thou wouldst bless thy people and save thine inheritance. We pray, most gracious Lord, that we may be made more spiritually minded, and that our heart and affections may be set upon thee, and that we may be enabled to run in the way of thy holy commandments, that we may be like Saul of Tarsus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And be as clay in the hands of the heavenly potter, and to be brought into submission unto Christ, not my will, but thine be done. We seek thy blessing upon those in the evening time of life's journey, that thy gracious blessing and help may rest upon them, the arms of thine everlasting love may surround them, and that their last days may be their best days. We do humbly pray thee. We remember all in affliction and trouble and trial and perplexity. Pray that thou wouldst be Jehovah Rophi, I am the Lord that healeth thee, that they may be restored both in body and in soul. Lord, we pray that the wonderful glory and light of the gospel may shine from this house of prayer, prodigals may return, and the precious souls may be gathered in, and the strongholds of Satan pulled down, and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus set up in the hearts of sinners. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children, O Lord, we do beseech thee. Lord, we do pray that thou would remember each one of thy servants this day as they preach the word. And may we be determined to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And grant, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy great mercy which grant an abundant harvest. Lord, we pray for all the little causes of truth up and down the land, that thou wouldst return, that thou wouldst make bare thine holy arm in the gospel, that thou wouldst gather in precious soul, and grant the sending forth of thy servants and the settlement of pastors among the churches, that we may see a reviving, a renewing, a replenishing in this dark day in which we live. Lord, we pray that for our nation, that thou wouldst turn back the tides of iniquity, and that thou wouldst send out thy light and thy truth. And we pray, most gracious Lord, that thy name may be honoured again in our nation. For Lord, thy name is blasphemed continually, and thy word is trampled underfoot and counted as a thing of naught. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst arise, for iniquity abounds on every hand. Is not thy chariot hasting on? Most gracious Lord, come and work in thy Zion. Come and make bare thine holy arm. We do humbly beseech thee. Lord, bless our beloved queen and consort and our royal household. Bless them with that rich grace that is in Christ Jesus. And bless our leaders with wisdom and understanding. And grant, Lord, if it could be thy heavenly mind, that thou wouldst deliver us as a nation completely from the yoke of Europe, that we might once again stand as a sovereign, independent nation. O Lord, hear the sighs and the cries of thy little remnant. And have mercy upon us, O Lord. In wrath, remember mercy. O Lord, we do thank thee. We thank thee for thy house of prayer. We thank thee for the gathering together of the people. We thank thee for thy word, the glorious word of thy grace. We thank thee that thy mercies to us are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. We thank thee for the wonderful glory of the incarnation of the Son of God, the sacred glory of his person. We thank thee that in him the law of God has been fulfilled and honoured and magnified, and everlasting righteousness has been brought in. We thank thee for that holy sacrifice of Calvary, where sin has been put away, and divine justice has been satisfied, and God and sinners are reconciled. Oh, we do thank thee for a Saviour that died for our sins, but rose again for our justification, and now sitteth at thy right hand. We have such an high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Lord, grant that these things may be a sweet reality unto us. We do humbly beseech thee. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1078. Dear Lord, and shall thy spirit rest in such a wretched heart as mine, unworthy dwelling, glorious guest, favour astonishing divine. 1078.
Thank you.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help. Direct your attention to the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 8, reading for our text, verses 36 and 37. The 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, reading verses 36 and 37. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." This man, the Ethiopian eunuch, was obviously a man of quite some substance and achievements, being the like the Chancellor of the Exchequer to the land of Ethiopia. And there was obviously something going on in his heart. Heavenward, Godward. He had been seeking, and he was seeking to know the truth. He'd come up to Jerusalem to worship at the time of the Passover, and he was returning, and he was reading the Holy Scriptures, a seeking soul. Holy Spirit, he leads us, he guides us by the Word of God, directing us in the Word of God, persuading our minds and guiding us into the truth, delivering us from error, which we are prone to, delivering us from the power and dominion of sin, which is where we are by nature, blinded by the God of this world. But when the Holy Spirit enters the heart, things begin to change. Life is given. We begin to feel, spiritually feel something within our hearts. Instead of coming to the house of God and like the door on its hinges and no thought, no exercise, no concern, you're happy to be there, you've been brought up to be in the house of God, but that's as far as it went. And in a natural sense of the word, because that is what you've always done, and that is what you're happy with doing. But nothing going on between your soul and God. But what a sad, solemn state and condition that is to be found in. Nothing going on between your soul and God. That's where the Lord finds us. You may be happy in an outward sense of religion. You may have some discernment if the minister was to preach error, but you still don't have any life in your heart, in your soul. What you know is by the precepts of men. What you know is by what is the apostle calls a letter religion. You might say, whatever do you mean by a letter religion, an intellectual religion? You're happy with it because you've been brought up in it. And providing someone crosses the T's and dots the I's, you're quite happy with them. You have a certain amount of discernment as to what you believe the truth is. But you still know life. Ye must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It is utterly and absolutely impossible. Sinner, if you live and die having never been born again, you'll be lost forever. You'll hear that solemn, awful word from the eternal God sitting on the throne of judgment, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Is there anything that goes on between your soul and God? Is there any concern as to your state and condition as before a holy God? The apostle, he says in the second chapter of the Ephesians, "You hath he quickened who were dead." Do you have any evidence? Real evidence that your soul has been quickened? "You hath he quickened who were dead." Do you know, like the man in the 9th chapter of John's Gospel, the blind man that was born blind? And the Lord Jesus gave him sight. And the Pharisees were so upset by this miracle that they tried to disprove the fact that he was born blind. And when they kept pressing him as to who it was, I love that, "This one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, but now I see." Do you know that? Do you know that you were blind? Do you know that you were dead in trespasses and in sins? Do you feel it? Does it concern you? Does it burden you? Does it exercise your heart? Is there in your soul a hungering, a thirsting after righteousness? Because you feel that within yourself you're all unrighteous, unclean, you're not right. There's a deep uneasiness in your soul, that there's an aching void in your heart that the world and all its pleasures and treasures can never fill. Is it so? You know, my beloved friends, we can go an awful long way in religion and yet not have spiritual life. Is it John Bunyan, when in that journey, Christian, and he came to the gates of heaven and he saw that there was a path that went from the gate of heaven to the very gates of hell? We can have in an outward sense of the word, all the trappings of real religion in an outward sense of the word, having been brought up in it, but not have life. And the word of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, he goes even further than that. He said, "Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, we have wrought miracles in thy name. We have preached in thy name. We have done this in thy name. We've done that in thy name. And I will say unto them, depart from me, ye cursed. Depart from me, I never knew you." It's a solemn thought, isn't it? They thought they knew him. In fact, they were absolutely sure they knew him. But he said, "I don't know you." He didn't know them. He didn't know them in that eternal covenant of grace. He didn't know them when the sins of his people were laid upon him, when he suffered and bled and died for his people. "I never knew you. I know nothing about you. Your soul has never been quickened into life. You do not know what real true faith is in Jesus Christ." They knew it in the letter, in the intellect, in the understanding, but they didn't know the spiritual life and power of it. Their soul had never been quickened into life. Oh, that these few thoughts may indeed cause us to think, to consider. We read in the prophet Haggai, "Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways." Consider your ways. And the Apostle Paul, he says in writing to the Corinthians concerning to make our calling and our election sure, as to whether we're in the way or not, as to whether we know the truth or not, in reality, in its power, in our hearts. Or that the Lord would indeed grant that we may be deeply burdened and concerned on these matters. Now, we find in the context of our text, in the Acts of the Apostles here, how that Philip was led and taught and guided by the Spirit of God. He was preaching in the things of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. He was preaching in a very successful way. There was great effect to the preaching of the word. And yet, the Lord removed him from that sphere of labour for the time being, and he took him to a desert. Strange if you think of it, isn't it? Here was a man, very favoured, preaching the word, great success, and the Lord takes him into a desert. It makes me think of Abraham, when the Lord called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And we read that Philip was immediately obedient. And that's what made me think of Abraham. He was obedient unto the Lord's call. The Lord called him to come out from among his own people and to a land that he didn't know anything about. And the Lord promised him and said, in thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And we are told in the epistle to the Hebrews that he went out not knowing whither he went. In other words, he went by faith. He went out not knowing whither he went. That's the spirit of faith. A faith that worketh by love. He left everything for Christ's sake. Ruth the Moabitess left the land of her nativity. When Naomi said unto her to go back to her gods and her family, she said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou dwellest, I will dwell. And thy God shall be my God. She was steadfastly minded. She was fully persuaded in her mind. Oh, that the Lord would grant that we may be steadfastly minded, fully persuaded. So the Lord, he speaks to his servant, arise and go toward the south in the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. He arose and went. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So we have many instances in the word of God. My mind, it just goes to the Lord's servant Jacob, when he left his home and to go and fetch him a wife from Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and that place forever after has been known as Bethel, where the Lord met him. As far as we can perceive in Holy Scripture, that was the first time that the Lord met him and revealed himself unto him. He dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder from that reached from the earth up into heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending on it. That ladder is Christ. That's what it represents. The angels ascending and descending. Jesus is the way to God. And that is what was revealed unto Jacob at that time. The way to heaven. And he said, how awful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, the very gate of heaven. He stood in awe of Almighty God. And the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south. The point with Jacob is that the Lord said, I am with thee. And I will not leave thee until I've done that which I've spoken to thee of. The Lord was with Philip. And he spake to him, arise and go toward the south. And the Lord speaks to his people today. And with his speaking, it's not just something that we receive intellectually, not if it's the real true word of God, it's something that comes with a measure of power. It abides, it lives in the heart, and it persuades you that this is the way. This is the Lord's way. This is the Lord's guidance. This is the Lord's direction. But there's a savour. There's a sweetness. There's an unction that comes with it. That persuades you. It's when the Holy Spirit brings the word of God. It may be a word of direction. Into the heart. Into the soul. And he arose and went. And of course he comes to this man of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. It says in Holy Scripture, and I think it was the Countess of Huntingdon, she thanked the Lord for the letter M, not many noble. She said it doesn't say not any noble, but not many noble. And here was a nobleman, a man of great authority. He was one of the Lord's people. You know, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, you carefully read Scripture, they were very wealthy men. And the Lord blessed them very much in a providential way. Abraham in particular. You see, the Lord had purposes of grace. We know that from the very early Christian era, that the grace of God in Christ reached Ethiopia. That is a very well-known fact. And when we read this, and the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So he divinely guided him. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And he ran thither. See, he was willing. In the day of God's power, he ran thither. And the man was reading in the prophet Isaiah, and he said to him, understandest thou what thou readest? This was the inquiry. And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip would come up and sit with him. See, the Lord had brought this man into a concern in his soul. He brought this man to feel a need. He was reading and he didn't understand what he was reading. Perhaps you remember a time when you turned to the Word of God, but you didn't really understand what you were reading. It seemed to be a sealed book. Didn't seem to mean anything to you, and you couldn't really understand the truth of it. But then the time came when the Lord began to open it. And then it became a living word. A living word in your heart. So you began to read it more and more. There was a hunger and thirst in your heart. The Lord Jesus, he says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's a hunger, there's a thirst. The Lord Jesus himself says that him that is athirst, let him come unto me. Him that is athirst, let him come unto me and drink. And this is where the Lord, by his grace, had brought the Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't know who Christ was, who the Messiah was. He was completely ignorant of these things. But now, through the grace of God, through the preaching of Philip, he was to have his eyes opened. He was reading that beautiful 53rd of Isaiah. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. See, the glorious person of Christ now is opened up to us in that 53rd of Isaiah. The wonderful glory of the suffering Saviour. He was wounded for our transgressions. When the Lord opens that up to you, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. You know, and Philip obviously preached unto him that the humiliation of Christ, but he also preached unto him that this glorious person was the promised Messiah who had come, who was not just a man, but he was the Son of God. He was the eternal Son of the eternal Father that was manifest in the flesh. That's what he preached to him. He preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him what Jesus is, who he is, that he is indeed the eternal Son of God, that all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth, and that he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And he's the one that is led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He said to Philip, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Wonderful opportunity was given to Philip here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It reminds me here in the 17th chapter of the Acts when Paul, the Apostle Paul, was on Mars Hill, Athens, and he was speaking there, and they were speaking of all the various things of the heathen god, the Stoics, etc. And he saw an altar with this inscription to the unknown god. What did he do? Did he turn away in horror? Did he say, oh, how can I be among these heathen people? No, my beloved friends. He used it. He used that to the unknown God. This God whom ye ignorantly worship, him I preach unto you. God who made the worlds, in whom we live and move and have our being. He used that as an opportunity to exalt a precious Christ. To say that Jesus is the only way to God. To say that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And to say that Jesus Christ died for the sins of his people, rose again for their justification. Him hath God exalted as a prince and as a saviour, for to give repentance and remission of sins. And he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, not only, you see, he preached unto him the doctrine of baptism. I remember years ago, an old couple down in the Sussex area, and they were very categoric. They did not believe that a minister should ever preach on baptism. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, and he'll persuade you, and it's not for a minister to preach on it. How did the eunuch know that he needed to be baptized? Because he preached unto him the baptism of Christ. And of course this is recorded. beautifully recorded. I often refer to it in the St. Matthew's Gospel. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read in the 3rd chapter, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" John knew who this man was. It was John that said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John knew who he was. He was revealed unto John. So when he comes to John, the Messiah, the Christ of God, the only begotten Son of the Father, manifest in the flesh. And John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." We hear people glibly say, "There's no salvation in baptism. You don't have to be baptized to be saved." Well, that's absolutely right. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. But if you're saved, if you're brought to faith in Christ, that's a different matter altogether. "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." It's a righteous thing. You know, what the Lord gives us in the Christian church are two very simple ordinances, and only two. The ordinance of believers, and I emphasize that, the ordinance of believers' baptism, we have it here in our text, "If thou believest, thou mayest." As something vital. If a person is a true believer, they have faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God, you see, he must believe. So this is a righteous thing for a believer to do. A person that loves our Lord Jesus Christ, they are, by the Holy Spirit, they be given that faith that worketh by love. The motivating principle in the heart of every true child of God is love. It's love. You know, friends, this is a very important point that we're making here. Where there is no love, there is no grace. Where there is a hard, harsh, judgmental spirit, there is not the Spirit of Christ. That's absolutely opposite to the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is a spirit of love. It's a spirit of kindness. It's a spirit of compassion. And if we are true believers in Christ, true followers of Christ, true disciples of Christ, that is what will motivate us, is the spirit of love. We know something that the Word of God teaches us. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It's one of the evidences of the true grace of God in the heart. We love the brethren. I love to meet among them now, before his gracious feet to bow, though vilest of them all. Can I bear the piercing thought? What if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? You feel a union to the Lord's people. You feel a love to the Lord's people. You desire to meet with the Lord's people. You desire to worship with the Lord's people. You desire to be one among the Lord's people. See, we love him because he first loved us. And it's love that is the motivating principle in the heart of the true child of God. Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. You see, it's a righteous thing for a believer to be baptized. It's not essential to life. We do not believe in baptismal regeneration. It doesn't confer faith on a person. It is the evidence of the grace that is already in the heart. And the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. It's not essential to life. But it's, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And this is one, we just have those two ordinances then. The ordinance of believer's baptism. And the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. See, Isaac Watts, he refers to the Old and the New Testament, and he refers to the Old Testament and the church in the Old Testament, how that three times a year they had to go up to Jerusalem, all their tribes, and to offer sacrifices, and day by day they had to do various rites and different things. But then he refers to that, but then he speaks of the Christian church, and he says, but we have no such lengths to go, nor wander far abroad. No, it's the simple ordinances of God's house. Believer's baptism and the Lord's Supper. This do in remembrance of me. And baptism, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. And then, of course, just as we have here in the context of our text, it says here in Matthew, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. On this sacred ordinance, the Eternal Father, he puts his seal of approval, his approbation on it, as his only begotten Son, manifest in the flesh, was baptized in the River Jordan. He said, in whom I am well pleased. Divine approbation. And here what we read, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And this shows baptism by immersion. This water was there. We read of John when he was baptizing in Ainon near to Salem, for there was much water there. Enough water to baptize people by immersion, that's what it means. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water. Again, the mode of baptism is clearly set before us, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing in hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What is hindering you? I say, what is hindering you? Well, we often find, just as it was with Joshua the high priest and the prophet Zechariah, and he was being anointed as the high priest, and he was clothed in filthy garments, and Satan stood at his right hand resisting him. Perhaps that's where you are. Perhaps you didn't realise it is Satan standing at your right hand, resisting the will of God and the purpose of God. And all manner of reasons he puts in your mind and your own mind produces as to why you shouldn't do it. You see, Satan hinders the Lord's people. The Apostle Paul, on his journeys in the mission field and preaching the gospel where no one had been before, and he writes in one of his letters how he so earnestly desired to be at a certain city, at a certain place. He said, but Satan hindered us. And he does, he hinders us. He tries to stop and to intervene and to disrupt. And if the Lord has placed this in your heart and you have this desire in your soul that you might follow him because you love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth, but there's so many things you say, I can't do it because of this, I can't do it because of that, I can't do it, it may be my business, it may be my wife, it may be my family, it may be something completely different. You say, why I can't do it? Why I can't do it? See, so many different things. Satan, he uses sometimes people near and dear to us to hinder us in the right way, to stumble us of walking in the right way. But all that the love of Christ may be shed abroad in your heart, and that all these hindrances may fade away, and you may see no man save Jesus only. And that is what we see in the ordinance of baptism. There is a most precious doctrine that is set before us in the ordinance of baptism. The Apostle Paul, when he writes his epistle to the Romans, he actually, in the sixth chapter, he opens it to us, the doctrine of baptism and what it means and what it represents. The hymn writer, Fawcett, he says, he speaks of the rite of baptism, R-I-T-E. View the rite with understanding. Jesus' grave before thee lies. Be interred at his commanding. After his example rise. That beautifully sets before us the doctrine that is in believers' baptism. It's the grave of Christ. Just as Christ was immersed in those terrible sufferings when he suffered and bled and died on Calvary, and that was for the sins of his people, oh, there is a suffering Saviour in believers' baptism. But what the believer is doing when they are baptised, being immersed under the water, they're confessing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. This is where my hope is. It's in the glorious person of Jesus Christ. It's in what he has done. And I humbly hope and trust he done it for me. He suffered, he bled, he died for me. And therefore there is that desire to follow him in his example that he gave us. Now the apostle says in Romans 6, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. You see, he opens here the meaning of baptism. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So being baptized represents the death of Christ. As you come up out of the water represents the resurrection of Christ. So that is what is the doctrine that is in baptism. It's the death, the sufferings of Christ. And then coming up out of the water is the resurrection of Christ. And so he says here, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. How beautifully that scripture sets before us the central meaning and doctrine that is found in believers' baptism. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water." This willingness to follow the Lord. "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He knew it by experience. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. May the Lord add his blessing.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £727.01, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day, that is, we hope, all day, not just in the evening. And the collections next Lord's Day are for Christian Concern. Let us close with hymn number 83. "How oft have sin and Satan strove to rend my soul from thee, my God, but everlasting is thy love, and Jesus seals it with his blood." Hymn number 83.
Thank you.
now. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.